The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Have you ever been asked the question, what is your favorite food? Well, for someone who adores food and loves to try anything and everything, I can't really answer that question. But what I can say is that one of my favorite things to eat are noodles. So let me take you on a journey where we discover familiar and unique noodle dishes from around the world. So sit back and relax, because it's noodle time! Alright, so it's episode 2 of Noodle Time, and in this episode, we're going to be traveling a little bit west from our little hometown in Marin County, and we're going to be talking about Japanese noodles. And I am particularly excited for this episode, partly because I did go to Japan for 5 days back in 2018. Actually right before the pandemic hit, and it was a really good trip. I traveled to, I believe, 4 different cities. I went to Tokyo, I went to Osaka, and I went to Kobe, and I also went to Hiroshima. And in every single region, I had something completely different to eat. And it wasn't just noodles that were different over in each region. Every single dish or every single dish that I had from each region had their sort of like special thing for their own culture for each designated region. But one thing in common that I saw in many of the restaurants that I ate at in Japan was the type of food culture that each of the workers and each of the people embraced. And yeah, so I'm gonna be talking about that sort of food culture that is really distinct, and it's really unique compared to the food culture that you can see back in America. And yeah, so let's get this episode started. Alright, so in my experience in Japan, I was able to meet so many different people of many different backgrounds, and something I could say that each of them had in common was their generosity and their ability to make people feel at home, sort of. But at the same time, each of the restaurants that I went to were very high in technology. They had vending machines right in front of the door where you can order the food, and there were also some vending machines that served hot food that you wouldn't really see back in America. And one of them that I saw was actually a ramen vending machine that it would take your money and then it would heat up the ramen, and then it would come out in this little box that you could open up, and it would be like a hot fresh ramen ready for you to eat. And it wasn't really instant ramen, and it was more like, it was kind of a gourmet ramen. And I just found that really interesting, just to see how advanced Japan was when it came to their food game. And something else that was really quite interesting about the food culture over there was you didn't really talk to the workers over there or the chefs. I went to this one restaurant. It was also a ramen restaurant. It was the very first one that I went to right when I got off the flight. And he only asked me one thing when I went there after I ordered my ramen. And he only asked me if I wanted chopsticks or a fork. And that was it. We had no other interaction besides that. And I just also find that quite interesting, because back in America, you would typically have a waitress or a waiter to serve you throughout your whole entire meal, and it would be sort of an experience. But in Japan, the experience was just to eat food and just leave. I believe it was because it's a very fast-paced country. Everyone gotta do what they have to do. Maybe everyone just wanted their food just to get in, get out, and then continue back to their job or their work or their school or whatever they had to do. And I just found that very intriguing. And something else that I noticed was that tipping is not really recommended in the country. I remember when my dad tried to tip one of the chefs because the food was so delicious. The chef kind of looked at him in a weird way. And then I did a quick Google search and I found out that tipping is not really recommended in the country because they kind of see it as kind of disrespectful to the chef. Because why are you giving extra money to the chef or the restaurant if you already thought the food was great? So it's kind of, you were trying to add more value to their meal when they already set the menu at a certain price. So I guess that's why tipping isn't really recommended in the country. But besides that, I really believe that the food culture in Japan really added a whole new perspective to how I eat food. And I really believe the way the chefs and the way the workers treated us and the generosity they gave and the feeling at home sense, it kind of added a whole new experience when it came to eating food. And that's enough about me. So let's just start talking about one of our first noodle dishes in Japan, ramen. Alright guys, I'm back. And let me just open up with saying that ramen has a really special place in my heart. And the main reason is that I actually work at a ramen restaurant here in San Rafael. It is a pretty popular ramen restaurant, I would say, and the whole company is pretty popular. It's called Menya Shono, and the owner of this restaurant, Mr. Shono, he actually owns a lot of ramen restaurants all over Japan, and he also owns a lot of one restaurant in San Francisco. And it's actually a Michelin star restaurant. And that's pretty crazy because if you don't know what Michelin star is, it's kind of like this grading system for restaurants. And just being able to get a Michelin star, it takes a lot of work. And just being able to work at a company with just this high of standards, I feel like I do have the credentials to talk about ramen. But other than that, ramen is a really, really complex dish, as there is a lot that goes into it. There's about 5 major components when considering making ramen. So you have the tare, you have the broth, you have the noodles, and then you have the flavoring oils. And so essentially, tare is basically, it's mainly soy sauce based, and it actually just adds the flavor to the whole entire soup. And then you add the broth, and the broth could be a bunch of different things. It could be a pork based broth, it could be a chicken based broth, it could be a creamy broth, it could be whatever you want actually, but just along with the tare, that adds the flavor to the dish. It creates a cohesive overall soup. And then you add the noodles. And the noodles for ramen typically are very, very thin. But the difference that you could see in some ramen noodles are that some of them could be thick and then some of them can be thin. Another major difference is that the way that they are cut. They can be cut wavy and they'd have a little bit of grooves on them, and they could be cut straight. Which means they have no grooves on them. And the way that it's cut, it actually plays a big factor into the way that you eat ramen. The wavy noodles typically are paired with a more thicker broth because the wavy noodles sticks more to the broth, mainly due to the grooves that it has. And then the thinner noodles are more paired up with a more richer broth, more where the broth is kind of thin, but it still packs a punch. And it kind of uses the thin noodles just so that it could kind of showcase more of the soup rather than the noodles. And there are a lot of different types of soup bases when it comes to ramen. You got shoyu, and that's a soy sauce base, which is mainly boiled with soy sauce. And then you add other flavorings to it, like garlic, onions, celery, just any vegetables that would add to the flavor of the broth. You got tonkatsu, which is a pork-based broth. And you also got a tori paitan, which is a creamy chicken base. And tonkatsu and tori paitan are actually quite interesting because both of those broths are very creamy. And the way that they are creamy is they actually boil the chicken bones or the pork bones for a very, very long time. And in doing so, the calcium breaks down and it kind of turns the broth into a milky white color. And that's why you typically, when you eat tonkatsu broth or you eat tori paitan broth, it appears white. But then it becomes darker because then you have to add the tare, which is typically a darker shade of color. And then the overall soup looks a little bit like brownish or like tannish in a sense. But yeah, ramen is super complex and there's so many ingredients and there's so many processes that go into making such a complex soup. And that kind of leads me into my next section, because there's this one invention in Japan that just revolutionized the entire world. Sorry guys, that was just me eating what I'm actually about to talk about, which is instant noodles. And believe it or not, instant noodles was actually created in Japan. And the creator of instant ramen was this guy named Momofuku Ando. And I got this information from the cupnoodlesmuseum.com. And he created ramen noodles, instant ramen noodles, in 1958. And I really just wanted to talk about instant ramen noodles because it's something that is really popular worldwide. There's so much variety of instant ramen, and it's so accessible and it's so cheap. And because it's so cheap, it allows so many people that have no money, like a college person myself, to have a nice hot bowl of noodles. And it's kind of crazy how Momofuku, the invention that he created, you would just need to add hot water to make instant noodles. Because in the past section, I talked about how ramen is such a complex dish and how it involves so many different ingredients. But just to understand that you would just have to add instant water to create such a quick and delicious meal, it's just very intriguing to me. But yeah, although I only talked about two types of noodles that originated from Japan, there's actually way more that I haven't mentioned, such as soba noodles, which is a really thin buckwheat noodles that you can dip into a cold broth or a hot broth. And then there's also this other type of ramen called tsukumen, which is another type of ramen that the noodles come dry and then you dip it into a sort of gravy soup-like consistency broth. And there's another type of ramen that is really, really popular across the globe, and that one's called udon. And it also is a really, really thick type of noodle that has a really big variety, in the sense that it's pretty similar to ramen, where you can put it into many different types of broth and add many different types of toppings. But yeah, thank you guys so much for following me on this journey throughout Japan and Japanese noodles. This was Noodle Time, and I'm your noodle guy.